All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 16. Judges, chapter 16 for the message tonight. I want to preach to you about Samson tonight, give you a little insight on the life of or the death of this man. His story is told through several chapters. He was one of the judges in Israel. And I'm going to look now at the last part of Samson's life tonight, beginning in verse 21, Judges chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 21. All right, you follow along as I read. It says, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand." Now you'll notice that God is a small g. And what they should have done was put the enemy with a capital E, because he's about to lay him low. Verse 24, "And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." In other words, let him come and entertain us. "And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol, in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. All right, let's pray together, and then I want to speak to you tonight a message I've entitled The Death of Samson. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the sweet spirit in this place tonight. Thank you for the music we have heard. Thank you for the fellowship that we enjoy. There's nothing like coming to church with your family and meeting up with your church family and just rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. And Father, I pray tonight you will bless now as we open the Bible and look at its eternal truths, how thankful we are that we have the Word of God. It's our privilege to be able to hear the words of this text, of this chapter, and to look at this man's life and to learn some things that will help us as we live for you in these last days. So, Father, bless, fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak tonight. You know my heart, Lord. I want to be a blessing, and I want you to use me tonight to encourage someone to live for Jesus. So bless us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Samson is one of the most puzzling characters in all the Bible. He was a descendant of the tribe of Dan. And if you remember, when Jacob died, he called in all of his sons, one at a time, and he pronounced an individual blessing upon each one of his sons. Dan was called in because he was one of the sons of Jacob and knelt before his father, and his father had a little blessing to pronounce upon him. And here's what he said. You can read it, not right now, but after a while, you can read it in Genesis 49 and verse 16 and 17. And here's what he said. He said, "Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, an adder." An adder is a poisonous viper. "An adder in the path that biteth the horse's heels so that his rider shall fall backwards." Now, that prophecy turned out to be fulfilled almost to a T in the life of Samson. Samson clearly fulfills that prophecy that Jacob made all those many years before. He was a judge. He stung the Philistines with the sting of a serpent's bite. And what better picture could we have of that last scene, of this last scene at Gaza, than a serpent biting the horse's heel and the horse rearing up and the rider being crushed? But I'll guarantee you that Samson never dreamed how clearly he fulfilled Jacob's prophecy. You know, we seldom feel when we are in the middle of living life that we are walking in a predetermined way. But I think if anyone fulfilled their destiny in life, it had to have been old Samson. Samson, as you well know, I've preached on him before and you've read about him before, but Samson was a Nazarite. He took a Nazarite vow, which meant that he was set apart by the Lord for a specific job, for a specific service. God had something in mind when Samson was born that he was to do for the Lord, and he took this Nazarite vow to assist and to help him accomplish that special service. Now, if you've ever read about that vow in the law, you remember that there were several things connected to this vow. But one part of that vow was that he had to let his hair grow long. That was not the norm in Old Testament times. Now, I wish that our culture today could understand this point. But having long hair was not the norm, except for in periods of great rebellion against authority in our world. Now you study that out and you'll find that to be true. In periods of great rebellion, that's when men grow their hair long. I'm just going to sit here and let you digest that. How about the 60s? How about the Renaissance? You see all these pictures of Christ with long hair? Wrong. It is, Paul said, a shame for a man to have long hair. And so when you lived in Old Testament times and you had long hair, you had better have a walk with God and a mission from God and power with God to back up why you have long hair. Because if you had long hair in Bible times, you were mocked. You were ridiculed. You were referred to as the sissy boy. And you had better have some character and some fortitude and a spiritual walk that showed everybody that the reason you were different from everybody else was because you took a vow to God that you were separated unto God, and therefore you were different from everybody else. But you weren't letting your hair grow long because you had a point to make. You had a struggle that you were dealing with. You didn't like the man. And so you let your hair grow out in rebellion against everything. You weren't just saying, well, I don't like my parents telling me what to do, which is what they did in the 60s. God had plans for this man who answered his call. And he took this Nazarite vow to show God that he was serious. And for many years, the Bible here says he judged Israel in verse 20, or verse 31, says that he judged Israel for 20 years. So for 20 years, he was pretty serious about his call. Now we're going to talk about how that changed. But God gave him this call, and he took this Nazarite vow to show God that he was serious about what God caused him to do. And God gave him great strength in order for him to judge the Philistines in a manner, or in the manner in which God chose to use him. Now, I want you to picture Samson. I'm going to talk about it here in just a minute, but all these cities were walled cities, all of them that were built back in Bible times. They had to build walls around their cities to protect themselves. And so when they built their walls, they put stone gates and iron gates so that people could go in and out during the day. At night, those gates were closed and those gates were locked. Well, Gaza was a good-sized city as it is today. And it had a good-sized wall around it. And it had a huge gate that slammed shut and big bars on it that kept anybody from breaking it open. And Samson, to show you that he had God on his life and that he was doing the will of God in judging the Philistines, Samson went over and ripped those gates out of the wall, put them on his shoulders. And when you get home tonight, I don't want you to do it now because I don't want you to miss anything. But when you get home tonight, Go to the maps in your Bible and look down on the left bottom of Israel, and you will find along the Mediterranean, Gaza. Then go a little bit to your right and you'll see the city of Jerusalem. Then go just a little ways to your about 4 o'clock, and you're going to find the city of Hebron. And that's where Samson carried the gates of Gaza on his shoulders by himself from Gaza, all uphill, by the way. And he carried those gates by the power of God Almighty. Now, my point is, folks, if you're going to have hair like a girl back in Bible times when it was a shame for a man to have long hair, you had better have the authority of God to back up all the catcalls and all the jeering and all the hard time your peers are going to give you. And Samson did. Can you imagine him walking with these gates on his shoulders? Oh, I bet he had arthritis bad, don't you? But he carried those gates all the way to Hebron in God's power. Think of this. Think of this. Now, folks, stay with me now. Faithfulness to his Nazarite vow was the key to his power. You with me? Faithfulness to his Nazarite vow was the key to his power. And don't miss this. A part of that vow was, do not cut your hair. The secret to his strength was in his hair, as if to warn him and to show him just how easily his strength and his power might be lost. Folks, it takes nothing to whack your hair off. You can do it with just about anything you set your mind to do it with. And how simple was this little picture, if you will, to just obey the vow. Just obey the vow. Just be faithful to the vow. The secret to his strength was in his obedience and faithfulness to his vow. And so when Delilah tricked him and his hair was cut off, then his power was gone. And you see, Samson forgot that little lesson about faithfulness. He forgot it. And after a while, he forgot that the key to anyone's power is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Folks, there's no way in the world that anybody in this room or anybody in America or anybody in Israel or anybody in any He-Man competition could pick up the gates of the city of Gaza and carry them for 50 miles. There's no way you could do that. It had to be through the power of God. But Samson forgot that matter of faithfulness. Folks, listen, forgetting that matter of faithfulness will ruin anybody. I don't care who you are. It'll ruin anybody. And Samson forgot it. And after a while, he started playing with sin. Are you listening? He was playing with sin. He was joking around with a very serious matter. Hey, listen, folks, your power with God, your faithfulness to God is a serious matter. And he started playing and joking around with his, like being called of God for a task no other could do. that was his job. And he played and toyed with it, and it ended up being his demise. He forgot his vow. And he told Delilah his secret. And she came and sheared his locks. And Samson was bitterly defeated by his enemies. What a sad story is Samson. Now let's look at his life. And let's look at his death. And hopefully we can learn some valuable lessons that will help us. The first thing I want us to look at tonight, let's consider his capture. Make no mistake about it, folks. The devil desires to capture you and render you as helpless as what he did Samson. He wants you to play with your calling as a child of God. He wants you to play with your Christian life and with your relationship with the Lord. He wants you to toy with your Christianity so he can weaken you at every step of the way. And then when he's got you where he wants you, one day he will knock you to the ground in defeat. I often see folks playing with the will of God for their lives. I see young people playing with the will of God for their lives. In and out of church and in and out and up and down with the ministry that the Lord wants them to do. But folks, be careful playing with God's will for your life. Be careful playing with the ministry that God gives you to do for him. And that's exactly what the devil did to Samson. And we need to learn through Samson's example that if you play with sin, you're going to lose the game. Mark my word on that. There is not a one of us here who is a match for the devil. Samson found out over time that sin is binding. They came and bound him. Look at verse 21. It says the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Samson found out that sin is binding. They came and they bound him in brass shackles and led him off. And then look at the verse. He found out that sin was blinding. They plucked out his eyes. And then he found that sin is grinding like an animal. He walked in a circle around a grist mill, grinding corn like an animal, like a donkey would, hooked to just walking in a circle. Day in and day out. Grinding like an animal, just going in circles. How many folks do you know? And they're just going in circles because of sin. That's what it does, folks. What a shame. When sin has so enslaved a person's being to where they cannot do anything but simply serve their own sin. And we look at Samson and we see an example of what happens to so many people when they toy with the devil and with sin. And when they captured him, they took him down to Gaza. Now, folks, let me remind you that it was at Gaza that Samson showed his greatest act of strength. He took those massive gates of that city and swung them up and put them on his shoulders and carried them, bars and all, up to the city of Hebron. For miles, he carried those gates on his shoulders and he carried them uphill for most of that trip. Oh, that's an unbelievable feat. But now look at where he is and notice how things are different. Notice how changed he is when now he comes back into the city. He comes back to Gaza as a helpless prisoner of his sin. Oh, years earlier, he was a hero. But now when he comes back to Gaza, he is looked at as a fool. Can you see him coming into the city here, hands bound and children taunting him? When he was there a few years earlier, the first time, women were looking out their windows and oohing and awing at the strength he showed. Children were watching him as he went by with their eyes as wide open as they could get, and they could not believe what they were seeing. That was the first time when he carried the city gates. But now children are pointing and laughing. Women are laughing at how weak and defeated Samson appears. But even worse, Samson is now blind. They bored out his eyes with a red hot iron. Oh, how terrible that must have been. But don't forget, folks, if you look at 16:1, it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza," and what's the next word? Saul. Don't forget, it was through his eyes that his sin entered, and his eyes were the first to suffer for his sin. So blinded and fettered in brass shackles, he is led to the prison house, and there in that dark dungeon, he is forced to live out the rest of his days. You know what's interesting? Samson means sunny. That's what his name means, sunny. Not Sonny, S-O-N-N-Y, like a nickname, but Sonny, like what we never see around here anymore. And yet there was no sunshine to be seen. They plucked out his eyes. And then in our text comes the end for this poor, tragic soul. Let's think for a few minutes about the end of Samson's life. Oh, there was this huge party that was taking place at the temple of Dagon. Dagon was the Philistine god, the major main god of the Philistines. And if you'll remember, when the Philistines captured the ark, they took it to the temple of Dagon in Ashdod. And then when Saul was killed and decapitated, the Philistines took his head to the temple of Dagon in 1 Chronicles 10 and verse 10. So this Dagon was a big deal among the Philistines. They had temples in all of their cities in which they dedicated to the false god of Dagon. And now they were having a great feast in Gaza at this temple that they had built in honor of their false god. Picture it, folks. Picture it in your mind. The house is filled with tables. The servants are coming to the tables with food and wine. There are musicians that are playing, and everyone is laughing, and everyone is enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. On the ground floor, There are all the dignitaries. But up on the roof, in the hot sun, that's where all the common folks were crammed and jammed in like sardines. There were 3,000 people on the upper level out in the hot sun. Who knows how many underneath, but probably another 3,000 underneath. And all the big shots are there. All of the rulers and all of their priests and all the hot shots are there. And the dignitaries on the main floor spoke up and they said, "Call for Samson. Let him come and entertain us." You see, they thought that they were summoning their fool, but in reality, they were summoning their fate. For Samson was led to the room. And when he came in, they all jeered and laughed and mocked. And once he got inside, he reached out on one side and felt a pillar holding up the roof, and then reached out with the other hand and felt another pillar holding up the roof. And he cried to God for one last moment of might. And God granted his prayer. And the building came crashing down, killing everyone. Everyone downstairs and everyone upstairs, including Samson. Shortly after, his family came and they found his dead body. And they carried him home and buried him in a quiet grave between Zorah and Eshtaol. If you look back at chapter 13 for just a minute and look at verse 25, it says, as we begin the story of Samson, you look at verse 24 and it says, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him. Verse 25, and the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between where? Zorah and Eshtaol. So in the exact same spot where years earlier the Spirit of the Lord had come upon him for the very first time, his family took him back and buried him in the ground. That's his death. Now, secondly, I want us to think for a moment about Samson's choices. You see, folks, the choices we make in life are so crucial to our future happiness in life. Oh, be careful with the choices you make. You look at chapter 16 and verse 4 for just a moment. And here was the choice that Samson made that became his undoing. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. Oh, right there is where he made his mistake. I remember one time several years ago, there was a little girl in our church, and she came and she said that she wanted me to pray for this boy that she went to high school with. And I said, oh yeah, is he sick? She goes, no, I want you to pray. He'll get saved so we can date. And I said, what? She said, I want you to pray. He'll get saved. I want to go out with him. He is so cool. And I said, no. And she said, well, I'm praying he'll get saved first. And I said, young lady, that's not how it works. And number one, you don't date somebody because they're cool. You know, cool does not last. Character lasts, but cool does not last. And I had another gal one time, she said, but Pastor, I love him. I said, love him at a distance. Be careful with the choices you make. This choice was a wrong one because Delilah led Samson away from God. You might ask, well, Pastor, what other choices did Samson have? Well, don't forget that Samson was born of godly, loving, praying parents. His birth was divinely foretold. His parents asked God, how shall we train the child? What is he to become? And so they dedicated him to the Lord. And later, when of age, Samson accepted the call that God gave to him, and he made this Nazarite vow unto God. It almost seems that Samson realized, as did his parents, that he was placed upon this earth to do something special for God. You know, I wish that every teenager in the Church of the Open Door would just stop for a minute and ask, hey, do you think it's possible God could have put me here at this time to do something special for God? He, like so many of whom the Bible tells their story, was born into the kingdom for such a time as this. Hey, Samson, stay clean. Stay pure. Don't let your heart be drawn away from God. Don't let your heart stray away from the Lord. And when faced with life's toughest choices, Samson chose himself over God and God's will for his life. And the end result is right here. Bitterness. His choices ended with his life in complete shambles. Samson judged Israel for 20 years and things were in good shape. And then he decided that he needed, read the story. He decided that he needed to take a vacation and get some rest. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but he made a choice right here that started him in a downward spiral that ended up being his demise. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, when he decided he needed to go on vacation and get a little rest, he chose to go to Gaza. You say, well, Pastor, that's on the coast. That's where the beach is. Yeah, but there were lots of other beaches where you didn't have the enemy living and wanting you dead. He had no business, folks, going to Gaza. That's where the enemy was. Samson, stay out of the enemy's camp. Folks, listen, he ended up here with the building crashing down around him, dead, because he made a choice to go into the enemy's camp. Stay out of the enemy's camp. You got no business in the enemy's camp. He had no business going down and hanging out with a bunch of Philistines. He was just asking for trouble when he did. Man, I wish people would understand that. But we don't, do we? For you see, it was in Gaza where he saw Delilah. And then he made the choice. He loved a woman, verse 4, whose name was Delilah. And as soon as he fell in love with her, she started trying to find the secret to his great strength. You see, she had already agreed upon a reward that would have been given, or that was given from the Philistines. She had already agreed upon a reward that she was to receive for betraying the man that loved her and that she pretended to love. And you know the really sad thing? The really sad thing is that Samson knew exactly what she was up to. And yet, like the devil always does, she just kept wearing him down. And as is always the case, he eventually woke up one day, stripped of all his strength, blinded, and bound by the devil's relentless effort to knock him down and destroy him. And this tragic tale of a great man's fall all started by him making a wrong decision along life's way that he should have known better than to make. How sad it is to get up and go out just like you had done 1,000 times before and yet not know that the Lord has departed from you. Let me tell you something, young people. When someone says, oh, just drink one. Oh, it's all right, just smoke one. Oh, it's all right, just pop one. Well, it's got to start with one somewhere along the way. What's your choices? Oh, come on. Everybody's doing it. That is the biggest lie that ever came out of hell right there. No, not everybody's doing it. That's a lie. And don't you fall for it. Stand up and be counted for the Lord. Samson, get out of Gaza. Oh, if he'd only stayed away from Gaza. But you see, he made a wrong choice. And this playing with his vow and playing with sin and his horrible choices ended up costing him everything. This playing with his vow and with sin, it cost him his vision. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his life. And young people, you listen to me tonight. Young people, listen, young married man, young married woman, listen to me tonight. Had you come upon Samson when he was chained at this grist mill? And if you had walked up with a microphone and said, I'd like to do a little interview here with you, Samson. And he's walking in a circle, grinding corn like an animal, bound hand and foot, bound with no hope of ever getting free. He's walking around in a circle in total darkness, never with any hope of seeing the light again, walking the same steps over and over, day after day. And had you asked him, hey, Samson, was it worth it to make a mockery of the sacred vow you made to God? Oh, he would have growled at you and said 10,000 times, no, it wasn't worth it. You go back and tell everybody not to make the same foolish mistakes that I have made. Well, Samson, do you have any advice for young people today? I'm sure a look of stern rebuke would have come over his face, and I'm sure he would have said, you go back and tell him, stick with your God, stick with your vows, stick with the vow you've made to the Lord. And as I wrap up the message tonight, I want you to picture how Samson's life ended. Oh, they drag him in front of thousands of people. Dignitaries, commoners, you name it, they're all there to celebrate their victory over God's man and God. And they chain him to the pillars. Their purpose was to mock and to flaunt their victory over Israel and over Israel's God. But you see, over the time that Samson was in jail and was grinding at the mill, Samson's hair started to grow back. And it had grown upon his head once again while he was in captivity. And when they brought him in on that day, and they put one hand on one pillar and then another hand on another pillar, he prayed a simple little prayer, and then he began to push with all his might. Now, can you see the look of dismay on the faces of those Philistines watching this? Can you not see Delilah looking on and thinking to herself, oh no, don't let Samson get the last laugh. But it was too late. The pillars came crumbling down. Beneath his renewed strength, and every person in that building died. And God's testimony was that he slew more in one final blow than he had in all of the previous years. What a sad and tragic ending to a life of what could have been. Now let me ask you, dear friend, what's God's will for your life? You see, God has a will for you. Don't let anything keep you from doing that will. Would you make a vow to God tonight that you're going to do his will? Are you going to serve and fulfill God's will, or are you going to play with God's will for your life? Are you going to play with the world? If you are, let me tell you right now, just like Samson, you're going to lose. You cannot win. You talk about a rigged game. You cannot win in a match against sin and the devil. You cannot win. Many have tried, but all have failed. I think it's time to just serve the Lord.